even when I was doing my Reiki healings with my clients, I would get these messages for my clients, and they kind of seemed a little bit more like questions, like, you know, these are the issues that are coming up for you in this part of your body. This is what's happening. These are the emotional things that are happening. Just so you know, okay, bye. And there was like no follow-up, no plan afterwards of like, what's the healing plan? What can I do about it? How can I help? And so when I found PDS and the attachment theory stuff, I was like, oh my gosh, okay, this is what I've been looking for. These are some of the tools and the things that I've really needed to understand what's been going on with myself and to be able to help my clients as well.
Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I am so excited you're here. I am your co-host, Thais Gibson, along with our new special host, Mike DiZio. This is a podcast that discusses everything related to integrated attachment theory, the new attachment theory, along with the subconscious mind, relationships, communication, needs, boundaries, and so much more. Throughout this podcast, you'll see a series of episodes I upload with new information, educational tips all about how to thrive in relationships and really master your emotional state in your life, along with special guests hosted by Mike DiZio to discuss all of these amazing topics in some longer form content. Thank you so much for being here, and I really hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome back, Personal Development School viewers and listeners. We have another great podcast for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. My guest today is a Reiki master, as well as a relationship and intimacy coach. She loves helping people to feel free and safe in their relationships and sexuality. PDS viewers and listeners, let's welcome Shelby Avan. Hey, Shelby, how are you doing today?
Thanks. I feel like there should be applause. I was like,
we'll insert that in there for sure. So just for our viewers to know, like, I guess me and Shelby came to know each other. Shelby's been a member of the Personal Development School for a while. She was attending some of my routines that I was holding, Sharing Circle. And did you come to any of the other ones, or was it mostly Sharing Circle?
The Sharing Circle and the scripts and communication ones are the ones that I really like to do.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, Shelby's a fixture at Personal Development School, so we're happy to have her in here today. So speaking of, like, how did you hear about the Personal Development School in the beginning, and kind of what brought you there?
So this is probably the most unlikely way that you'd think a person could come to the PDS, but I was actually doing some coaching with a dominatrix, and she had told me about PDS. So she actually includes attachment theory in the PDS work with the stuff that she does when she's dealing with her clients. So she told me about PDS. So I bet you haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, no, that's super interesting. Wow. It's original. So I guess before Personal Development School, I know you've done a lot of different things, but what were you doing in the area of like healing and growth before you joined the school?
Before the school, I was more in like the spiritual realm of the personal growth stuff. So I started my healing journey in, I think, about 2018. And I had started with meditations. A friend of mine had done Reiki, and she had wanted me to sit for her, and so she could basically try out what Reiki was. And then I did that and experienced it. And it was like the wildest experience that I had ever had. I didn't realize that I could be feeling these different sensations in my body from an energy healing session. And then basically I was hooked on it. I really thought it was cool, and I wanted to learn it too. So I started doing that, which that got me in tune with the world of energy and spirituality in a way that I hadn't been connected to it before. Because for me, I grew up going to Catholic schools and stuff like that, and I never really related to God well, or I don't know. It just didn't really work for me. It never felt good. So then when I got into Reiki and connecting with spirit in that way, that felt like a much better way of connecting to the world than through like a God fixture kind of thing. So I went on the journey with that. And then I was doing other like just personal growth stuff. And then when I came to PDS, that was a completely different thing. And it really kind of like changed everything and made everything fall into place and made a lot of sense with all the holes that I felt like spiritual self-development work and then most other types of self-development work talk about. But it's kind of like all that other stuff that I was learning was very surface level and then attachment theory actually went down and like really made me understand what was underneath.
Right. Okay. Thanks for sharing. Before you learned about attachment theory, like, did you feel like something was missing before that? I hear about some people say attachment theory was like, oh my gosh, I wish I knew about this before. This is kind of like the missing piece. Did you feel like something was missing before you learned about attachment theory?
Yeah, there was this surface level healing that I was doing, but it just didn't really feel like it was getting where I needed it to be. And then even when I was doing my Reiki healings with my clients, I would get these messages for my clients, and they kind of seemed a little bit more like questions, like, you know, these are the issues that are coming up for you in this part of your body. This is what's happening. These are the emotional things that are happening. Just so you know, okay, bye. And there was like no follow-up, no plan afterwards of like, what's the healing plan? What can I do about it? How can I help? And so when I found PDS and the attachment theory stuff, I was like, oh my gosh, okay, this is what I've been looking for. These are some of the tools and the things that I've really needed to understand what's been going on with myself and to be able to help my clients as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. So what would you say are some of your core values when it comes to yourself and your coaching practice?
I like to be guided by my intuition. I have a very strong moral compass, which I think it very much is like my intuitive voice. Other values would be of like being able to actually focus on love and healing and peace overall. Like just those are, I don't really know if those are actually like moral values per se, but those are some of the things that are really important to me of being able to like what it is that I want to be able to attain and help people with. And the way that I want to do my work as well, I want it to be very aligned and feel good for me and stable, basically.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So what other areas of expertise do you bring into your coaching practice, and how do you combine them with your integrated attachment theory training?
So I've got my Reiki again. And then I've also done a lot of work around like sex and sexuality, nervous system work. I like to work within the worlds of Tantra and kink as well. So there's like a lot of different fun spaces that I really like to play in and bring into my coaching. And like, I find that with Reiki and the attachment theory, I could do a Reiki session on you. We can move through your body and see what emotional things are coming up, because Reiki is basically about understanding and healing the energetic and emotional layers of yourself versus like the physical side of it. It can help with physical too. But when we're moving through the energetic layers through Reiki, I also get messages that come through. So it's kind of like psychic messages in a sense, and downloads and stuff. And when they come through, those are the messages that I give to the client to continue their healing. And then from there, that's where the attachment theory stuff is. Because usually it's about things that are relational problems that are going on, or emotional problems, not being able to regulate, not being able to, you know, people being able to express their needs or their boundaries, or again, like nervous system regulation work, just all of those things that are taught with the attachment theory stuff. Like it comes up in the healings. And so it's like, okay, here's the healing. I helped move the energy, but you also need to do these things in order to continue to be your own healer and to continue that journey for yourself. It can't like, oh, this will be one of my like value type things. Like, I am meant to be a tool for you to use, but you are ultimately your own healer and you shouldn't have to need me at the end of this. It's just, you've selected me. I'm here to help you. I'm here to guide you. But you select who it is that you want to help you and how it is that you want to do your healing.
I love that. That's really great. I just want to touch on the sexuality aspect of it. Do people come to you with sexuality specific issues, or do you sort of introduce that to some people who might not know these areas and how they can benefit their relationships and themselves?
I've had people approach me with wanting to start with the sexuality side of things, but I quickly realized that it actually does need to come back, and we need to do the relational, the attachment theory, the nervous system regulation work first. There's a certain base layer that needs to happen before we can touch over there, because sex and intimacy is so much about like the peak of vulnerability for humans in general. And so it's even just to be able to start to feel our feelings without including sex in there, it can be very hard. And again, super, super vulnerable. So I like to kind of take a step back and go there a little bit later, unless I think that they're actually kind of at a good place where we can do it and start there right away. But usually that's not the space that the clients are at right away.
Right, right. That's interesting. I know we kind of grew up in similar areas, and I also went through kind of Catholic school system and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But like, why do you think sexuality is so taboo? And, you know, it's obviously getting a little more acceptable to talk about certain things. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've noticed that probably people get a little maybe squeamish or a little bit unsure how to tackle these topics. Do you think it's getting better and things are opening up, or is there still sort of like taboo or maybe shame around talking about sexuality or even exploring it for yourself?
There is all of it.
Yeah.
It's getting better. All of that stuff is still there. People are learning how to deal with it better. There's a lot of great life coaches and sex therapists and sex educators and people that are supporting the LGBTQ community, like all of that stuff, all of it's growing, and it's really, really great. But where everything I feel has, maybe not where everything has come from, but there's definitely still that stuff from, I think a lot of it is kind of religion. There's definitely a lot of stuff that comes with religion mm-hmm. being, you know, like no sex before marriage, purity culture kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Sex is bad. Sex is like XYZ. It's only meant for making babies. And there's nothing about actually including pleasure in it per se.
Right.
Like that's kind of the general, it can depend on what parts of the church you're in or what the beliefs are. But I feel like that's kind of the overarching feel that comes from it. And that just brings about a lot of shame and a lot of like, I can't actually go and explore different things. I can't be a gay man. I can't be a lesbian woman. I can't be bi. I can't be non-binary. I can't like, go and explore the kink world because that's super taboo. And how do I, you know, I would be shunned from my religious community. And so like, right. There's just so much in there, which is shame-based. And right. it's just not necessary because pleasure is an aspect of being able to love yourself and then also to be able to love others and share. And it's just like, it's just meant to be this really beautiful process. So it sucks that all that shame and stuff is behind it.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I'm sure like, you know, I think my gym teacher taught us sexuality and those issues, sexual issues for like 2 weeks. You could tell he was like uncomfortable the whole time. He was just going off like these slides. And anyway, it wasn't the best way to learn about a lot of those things, but I'm happy that it's opening up, and I'm happy people like you are sort of guiding people and sharing with people how to give themselves pleasure and how to gain pleasure and remove that shame and whatnot. So that's amazing. So how do you coach? Like, how would you say you specifically coach, and what makes you different from other coaches?
Okay. So the way that I coach would be including my intuitive gifts and my Reiki gifts. So being able to do Reiki on someone first is my ideal situation. So we dive in and we figure out what's going on the energetic and the emotional levels. I'll get messages that come through, and then that shows like what it is that would need to be worked on first, because that's kind of what the body is saying is bothering it the most. So I can kind of make a program from there. I can do an 8 or 12 week relationship and intimacy coaching program kind of thing, which includes the IIT work. It can include some intuitive work. And so basically what the intuitive work looks like is we actually get in tune with the client's intuition and then understand what the intuitive voice looks like versus, or sounds like versus what the ego voice sounds like. And so on a scientific scale, that's like intuition is only really able to come through when we are in a regulated state and our body feels safe. And then we can actually like feel into our bodies, feel what's coming up through our intuition. And then ego state would be fear mind, safety, I'm scared, like, all, you know, fight or flight mode kind of thing. So that's when we're dysregulated and that's what's coming up.
Right.
So being able to identify the two of those, include those in the sessions, get the goodness purely directly out of the client versus me telling them what it is that they need, because their intuitive voice is very, very wise. And so I like to be able to empower people by finding that and utilizing that too. But it depends on the client themselves, whether they want to go more logical, which would be that attachment theory type stuff, or whether I think that they need to be pushed more into their body, maybe some spirit stuff. And then that could look like, again, the intuitive sessions. Or just doing some body work, which includes nervous system regulation and maybe some like meditations to bring them down and ground them.
Right. That's lovely. So mm-hmm. Yeah, with intuition, I really remember when I was meditating consistently, I started bringing a pen and a pad with me because I was getting just these amazing messages and just like helpful guidance from just like sitting in the silence and not being mm-hmm. sort of in a dysregulated state. So mm-hmm. do you have to, I guess, remove the negative emotions or sort of remove the dysregulated state before you can access any intuition? Is there a way to sort of get people to be in that mode of able to access it? I mean, I don't want you to give away all your tools and tricks right here, but do you have to sort of calm the nervous system first before you could even get to your intuition?
Yeah, basically. So all the way that I like to do it is like, we'll go through a meditation. Usually it's like a grounding meditation and visualization. It might have to be something like a body scan and feeling in the body, like what's wrong, and then listening to what's being said and what we need in order to feel safer in our body. Maybe the ego needs to speak first about something and say, I have fears that my job, usually the ego is like, I have a job and I don't want intuition to talk because then I'm not going to be needed or necessary. So it's really quite interesting. But yeah, there's a few different things that can kind of come through. But basically, yes, we do need to come down to a regulated nervous system state in order for the intuitive voice to fully come through. And that can also just be like with co-regulating with me, because I come to my sessions in a regulated state. And so our nervous systems talk to each other and they're like, hey, she's chill. So we can probably do that too. There's no danger here.
Right. Right. Yeah. For those that don't know, you can co-regulate, I guess, calm your nervous system state with someone who is regulated, and they can actually like bring you to like mirror their state, would you say?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I know you do women's circles. Do you want to let me know what is a women's circle exactly? What do you do during those?
So with the women's circles, it's basically about being able to bring women together to create this really beautiful community where we can support one another. So I'll usually start those with opening up. We'll chat and tell each other like an intention, why you wanted to come to the circle. And then I'll have cards that I'll lay out, and you get to pick a card and see kind of let that be kind of your, maybe like your guiding force or a part of your intention for the circle that day too. We'll share some more stuff. I'll guide people through meditation. And then we'll do some, we usually share whatever kind of comes through with the meditation as well. If there was any messages, and a theme usually arises as we share as well. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we'll do some of kind of like the coaching work that I would basically do just in a group setting. So a set of questions that can be based on, it can be based on like the cycles of the moon. It can be based off of goddess energy. It can be based off of menstrual cycle, or just the women's cycles in general, relationship stuff, sex stuff. It can be all the things. It can be about like a shame that we talked about earlier too, which I did in a past circle recently. So it's just all of that. Mm-hmm. They do that work, and that's kind of more quiet work. And then I'll go and do Reiki on them. If it's a small enough group, I can do individual Reiki while they're working on that stuff. And then at the end, if we have time, we'll kind of like share again, or share little bits and pieces that people feel comfortable sharing and opening up. And so it's this really, really beautiful container where women can feel held and safe and supported by other women. And sometimes it's kind of nice in the sense of it being like random women and no one actually knows each other. Then people can actually, sometimes people feel safer in that sense, because it's like, I can walk away and no one's going to know my deepest, darkest secrets or the shame that I feel or whatever it is. So there's like a safety in this anonymity in a sense, which is, it's cool. But at the same time, it brings everyone together, which is, it's really beautiful. I love my circles.
I can already tell, like by the end of it, people probably feel so like filled up and get so much out of it. You're building trust the whole time. And then naturally you're just going to want to share and open up more to these lovely people and, you know, this environment you've created. So it's really, really nice.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned already Reiki a few times. For anyone who doesn't know, what's Reiki in a nutshell for people who might not know exactly what it is?
So Reiki is basically energy healing. When I'm in a session, basically what it is I call it in, and then I'm the conduit of the energy. So it moves through my body into my client's body. And then I work through the chakras. So there's 7 chakras in the body, and each one represents something different. So it could be like the roots, the basic needs, sacral is emotions, creativity, sexuality. We have solar plexus for confidence. Heart is love. Throat is self-expression. Third eye is intuition. And crown is your connection to spirit. And so depending where I'm working, like to me, whatever intuitive messages come up as I'm doing work on people, it's affecting those particular areas on the body.
Right.
And then so in a session, you might experience heat or cold or like waves of energy in your body. You might feel sometimes like tingling, or sometimes pain is being released, but it has to be felt before it can be released. Different people have their own different abilities too. So people might actually like see things or get their own messages, like their intuitive stuff kind of comes up too. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. And then I can do it in person and distant. Mm-hmm. And I always think that like the distant thing is really interesting
yeah.
as well. It's kind of like, the way that I started explaining this recently is it's like, how do our cell phones work? And we have our cell phones and the towers that receive the messages. And so our bodies are basically like a much more efficient energy seeker in a sense. So we are like the cell phone. We can just receive energy from anywhere in the world.
That's so interesting. So with the chakra thing, can you sort of tune in on someone far away and sort of know maybe which chakra feels out of balance? Or do you just sort of go in there and just touch all the chakras and try to make sure everything's in balance and clear?
So if I'm doing an online session, I can do a scan. Usually I just start from the solar plexus, which is in the middle. So it's like just basically just below the boobs kind of thing. But that's where the solar plexus is. And I'll just work through all of them, but I can actually like wave my, like visualize them and wave my hand over the body and feel heat and wherever the heat, it's heat or cold. So if there's heat for me, it means that there's like energy will be taken in there. It's needed. It's deficient. Mm-hmm. And then if I feel cold, it means that there's a block.
So interesting. And I can share this with myself, and I know this to be true, where probably about 2 hours before every podcast, my throat starts becoming a little blocked. Like I have to like, like constantly clear my throat. Yeah. And I know, cause I start to get a bit nervous about like, okay, like I'm going to have to be expressing and I want to be the most authentic and not like hold back as much as I can. But I think a couple hours before I have this, a bit of anxiety where I'm like, okay, like this is scary. A lot of people are going to hear you and see you. But then shortly, once we get into it, things clear up. But literally it's almost like clockwork, 2 hours before every podcast, the throat starts, I'm having to clear it. So if you know an exercise for that, let me know.
Okay. We can talk after.
And also a little known fact, Mike has his Reiki level 1 certification.
I didn't know that.
But I got it so long ago, and I'll be honest, I didn't sort of follow up with it for too long.
Okay.
But there was a period I was going to weekly sort of Reiki meetups and was kind of getting into that world for like 6 months. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well, that might be what's calling you then. Just go back and try, see if you can remember some of your Reiki stuff where I can help you with it after.
Yeah. I think I was like judging myself for not feeling enough, because I am more of like an avoidant and I've been repressing and pushing away and ignoring feelings for most of my life. So I think when I was doing the Reiki, I was hearing about these people having such feeling-based experiences. And then I felt like I didn't feel too much. I almost felt like numb. So maybe you're right. I need to sort of tap back into that, because now I've done a lot of work and I'm way less avoidant than I was, you know, this was like 7-8 years ago. Yeah. Maybe this was a reminder that I should go back into it and give it another shot. Right.
Yeah. But that's a great example of how stuff like that can actually work too. Because if we aren't as in tune with our emotions and what we're actually feeling and trusting in ourselves, we won't be able to hear our voice. Cause again, we just won't trust it.
Exactly.
So however it is that it's our clairs, basically the ways like the different types of powers and stuff come to us, whether it's like we're able to like see a vision or something like that, or knowing just drops in, or we can hear words, whatever it is, like we won't believe whatever clair is speaking to us if we aren't used to like listening to our body in the first place.
Right. Okay. Avoidance, Reiki, get on it.
Why you should do it. Let me help you.
I just wanted to pop in here and let you know we are doing a 7-day free trial to the All Access Membership Pass at PDS, which means you get access to literally everything inside of the school. That means you get access to the 4 live webinars I do every single week. You can come in, you can ask me questions with your camera on, we can chat. You can leave your camera off if you prefer, or type your questions in the chat. There's lots of opportunity to get your questions answered. And on top of that, you get access to all of our different courses. We have over 55 different courses on relationships, communication, boundaries, emotional mastery, guilt and shame, learning your needs, so many different facets that are really important to master our lives and feel really good about our lives going forward. And last but not least, there's also community elements in there. So there's a daily community event, whether it's practicing communication or doing a guided morning routine or a guided reprogramming exercise. We have trained facilitators and coaches who are in there doing that work, showing up to support you on your journey every single day. So I would love love to see you on the other side. There's lots of exciting stuff in there. And we have had a 99.7% NPS score, which means we have literally that many people who report being really successful at PDS and wanting to recommend us to others. And it was all done anonymously. So I felt really honored that everybody shared that. So thank you to those of you who did. But yeah, please join me on the other side. Come check it out. See if it's a fit for you. I'd love to see you there.
What are like some fun rituals that you do for yourself, or what are some fun rituals you like to do with others?
Okay. So for myself, I like to do a morning routine. It changes depending on what I'm feeling. But so my rituals can look like a meditation. It can look like breath work. It can look like going for a walk. I like to make crystal grids every so often. The other day I made this one, it's beside me now, but it's like this money grid. And so that's one of the things that I'm working on and improving. So I have someone that guided me through like this money marriage vows, basically. And so I made like this beautiful altar that has like crystals and money and dried flowers and cards. And what else do I have over there? A whole bunch of really great stuff that is just like really beautiful and feels like abundant to me. Mm-hmm. And I created that and did that ritual. So I like doing stuff like that for myself. Yeah. So the ritual that I have with others is there's one person that I have a morning ritual practice with, which looks like sharing a gratitude, a manifestation, and then a download that we have each morning. So we just kind of send that back and forth. And that's something I really like to do. I like to be able to, like my women's circles would be like a ritual in a sense as well. So I like to be able to do that or go and hang out with like one of my other girlfriends who's super spiritual and like woo-woo as well. And we'll go and like pull cards and just like chat, and maybe we'll do some sort of healing on one another. But usually it's just with our words. That's actually very like ritualistic in a sense. It's just, we let the intuitive stuff download and see what comes through, which is, it's fun. So those would be mine.
Yeah, that's amazing. Were you always spiritual your whole life, or did you sort of, was that like later on where you discovered that side of yourself?
I think it was always in me because I've always been very sensitive, but I didn't really know what it was, and I wasn't really in the environments for it right away. Like, but like I said earlier with the religion side of things, like the school for me, it just didn't really work for me. I didn't really like it. It didn't really align. And like, it only started to align with me when we did a world religions class. And then I was like, ooh, I like the idea of Hinduism and Buddhism. Like these are really, really cool. Like, I love the idea of being able to have like basically a specific intention or wanting to speak to a specific god or goddess or deity or whatever it looks like. Right. Or animal spirits or all these different types of options. Like, these just sound so much more fun. And then I love animals too. So I've been around animals all my life. So one of my gifts as well is definitely with horses in particular, and just, I love animals. So I think like the sensitivities and the gifts and the energy with animals is a big thing for me that I actually don't always even realize. And people are kind of like, you know, this is like a huge part of you, right? I'm like, yeah, I've been doing it forever. I forget.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I love this episode, how we're getting so much into the spiritual stuff. For anyone who doesn't know, I'm in Tulum, Mexico right now. So like Tulum is just like kind of spirituality haven. There's a lot of healers and energy workers, light workers, all sorts of different people. So it's really fun. I get to learn a lot of new things and things that I never would have like been exposed to or even thought about. And it's just really fun. Like, you get to take what you think resonates with you and that you want to learn more about, and some other stuff you might be like, nah, that doesn't really agree with me. But that's the beauty of life. Like, you sort of have different options and just go with what feels right to you.
I have a question for you, actually.
Yeah. All right.
Have you been to Dia Los Muertos, like the Day of the Dead ceremonies?
So I've been here for 2 years. I've seen two of them happening. The last time that I witnessed it was in Puerto Escondido, which is in Oaxaca. And they take it really, really seriously. Pretty much every household sets up an altar in the house or outside of the house, but they pay homage to the departed, and they'll put all of their favorite things on the altar. So you'll see a picture of them, and then you might see like a cigarette and an ashtray, a bottle of beer. You'll see some pieces of bread. They just put things that the person used to really love and sort of show them, you know, to come back, and all their favorite things are here. But anyway, yeah, what was your question? Yeah, I've witnessed a few of them. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Really beautiful.
Yeah, no, I did a trip. I know this isn't on topic for the podcast at all, but it's just, I think like speaking to this, the sign of like altars and being able to celebrate and hold things sacred kind of thing. Like Mexico is a beautiful place that does something like that. Cause I've experienced it once before as well. Specifically, I went for that. I just love the altars with like, they have the flowers too. And they like weave the, are they the palm? Is it palm trees that they have there?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So they weave like the leaves together and they make these beautiful, like full bodied altars with, with all these, just, I really liked it. I thought it was a super cool thing.
It is.
Cultural.
What's beautiful. And I think is death is celebrated and death is not, it's out in the open. Like it's not like, you're not supposed to talk about that. Yeah. Like it's sort of, it's a part of life and it's part of the whole cycle and it's sort of not hidden. It's in the open here, which makes you feel, I think, like more comfortable, you know, because if you have this big, scary, you know, monster under the bed that you're not supposed to talk about or think about, like that's, you know, it's pretty heavy. Right. So,
yeah, well, it's a way that you can kind of think of it and be like, I'm actually supported by my ancestors versus there's scary ghouls and ghosts and demons.
Yeah. So in your coaching practice, where would you say that people struggle the most around intimacy?
In the PDS group, there's a lot of questions that are kind of being asked around whether or not people should sleep with someone really quickly. How are they going to know whether or not they're good in bed, basically? And basically what people need to kind of like know about that is that emotional intimacy is really needed to be able to feel safe, to have a really great sexual experience, safe and intimate, healthy sexual experience. You can have a lot of chemistry, which like Taze talks a little bit about that too, where there can be like a ton of chemistry if there's that insecure attachment style. So there's the anxious seeking and wanting to give love and the avoidant like running away. And then finally you actually like have sex and make it happen. You're like, I feel so loved in this moment in time. And then everything else is like not good outside of that moment in time.
Yeah.
And so you like, it's wanting to be able to create something that's way more stable and intimate consistently, because intimacy in itself isn't sex. Intimacy is being able to have emotional intimacy with self, being able to have emotional intimacy with others, being able to feel safe, being able to feel trusted. Like intimacy is so many different things, but it's not just sex. Right. Like at all. Intimacy is just like, you can have an intimate connection with your, like with your spirituality, that like it's about feeling that held, safe, vulnerable connection with others and with, again, with whatever, with all these different things. So being able to create that emotional intimacy is probably like the biggest thing that people come to me, or I've witnessed people having problems with me. Like, how do I hold off? How do I hold off having sex? Like, you need to build the emotional intimacy. Just don't go home with them. Don't get a ride back with them. Just like, just don't.
If you know. It's obviously different for everyone. And probably, you know, FAs are more on the people pleasy side and maybe anxious as well. Is it more them wanting to please the other person, or are they like, hey, like I have needs here. This would be fun physically.
I think it's, I want to be loved. I think that's what everything kind of basically boils down to, is I want to be loved. I want to be desired. I want you to want me. And maybe that means moving really fast, but not really, because I'm not actually getting the emotional intimacy that I truly, truly desire. Like I can't get that. So instead, let me try to see, or like a connection in some way. Right. So emotional connection, I'm not really getting that. So how about we try sex instead? Okay. I've got sexual connection. That's great. But then over time it dwindles, and then you feel disconnected in sex because you don't actually have that emotional connection to, and you don't actually feel safe. And then I find like pleasure is harder to find, because if we don't actually feel safe in the, like during sex, and like, we can't express our needs. We can't express our boundaries. We can't, it kind of like consent starting become very like blurred line. I'm like, oh yeah, maybe that's okay. Or, oh, I don't really think I like that. I don't really think I can say that, because then I don't think that I'm going to be loved. It's just not a safe place to be. And you can't relax into pleasure. You can't relax into being able to actually have an orgasm. You, like things like that, like pleasure is a gift to be given to people. Like it's a gift to yourself. It's a gift to be given to people as well. So they need to deserve it. They need to earn it by giving you safety and emotional connection.
I love that. That's so profound. Yeah, yeah. We're not in it for just, you know, cheap physical thrills. There can be so much more intimacy and such a deeper level if you, I guess you're saying, build that foundation first.
Yeah.
Before you get right into it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not like, and for clarity too, it's a little bit like, this is probably one of the things that in a sense religion got right, which is, you know, like wait to have sex, but you don't have to wait to have sex to have until marriage,
right?
But like wait and build up a connection and do that. Like make sure that you guys really like each other on all other levels too, because if it's something that you actually want to build long-term, then you need to like each other, right? You're not going to want to have sex all the time. So you need to be able to be friends and actually enjoy the connection that you have otherwise.
Definitely. Yeah. Wise words. Okay. Can I ask you, what are some issues that came up for you on your healing journey regarding intimacy with self and with partners that you're passionate about helping people with now?
It's basically kind of what I actually just talked about. So I was an FA before, and I definitely would like rush into relationships and have sex too quickly because of what I said. Like, I was like, I'm not feeling like I'm fully getting that emotional connection that I want. I really want it. And maybe I can get connection in a different way. Maybe I can fill this cup, this bucket in a different way. And then it would be through sex. And then over time, it was kind of like my body just started being like, we're having fun, but I can't really like give the gift of orgasm to you anymore because you're not connecting with me on a level that I need you to.
Right.
And I would get frustrated with myself because I didn't understand that originally, but again, through the stuff that I was learning as well, someone had told me that like, it's a gift.
Right.
It's a gift that means that's, you know, your body is just protecting you and saying, no, they don't deserve it. So they're not going to get it. And it's just kind of like, oh, okay. I hear you, body. Thank you.
I love that. I guess you might know this or not because you're into the energy work or whatnot. But I remember I got a wake up call when I heard from some people in the spiritual community that said, each person you sleep with, you're taking on some of their energy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Maybe if they're not like, I don't know, the best person or really unhealed, you might be taking on some of that energy and it becoming a part of you. Is that, do you think there's credence to that, or is that maybe?
Yeah. So that's one of the other things that I'll talk about, like, especially with women, but like the womb space holds so much stuff. Like it holds so much trauma. Again, it's the space of like sexuality, emotions, and creativity. Like it's a space where literally like creation is held and made within women. Right. So like for babies, that's where ideas come from, but because it holds all of that stuff there, like that's kind of a big part of our energetic center where it can be held. So like women can experience pain and numbness within themselves because of traumas or because of like maybe people's energy have been held there and it's actually like creating a blockage in like their physical womb space. Like things like that can definitely happen. And even I actually, like, there's an aspect of this for me that's been happening now just on trying to like cut cords with past people that I've been with and even like current people too, of just being able to rehash and keep your energy to yourself and to separate other people's energy from yours. Like it can blend so easily. And if you're sensitive, you'll notice it. And I've become more and more sensitive as I do more of my work and become more secured and healed. I'm like, wow, I can feel so much. Okay. So yes, there is a lot of credence to taking on people's energy.
Right. Right. Yeah. So how would you say healing attachment wounds for anyone out there who's, you know, insecure attachment style, how does healing those wounds create sexual relationship satisfaction or like meaningful sexual relationships?
It brings safety. It helps you to actually feel safe in your relationships, to be able to be truly vulnerable. It can bring like physical safety. So actually being able to have those talks about, hey, let's both go and get like an STI test and we're going to show each other what it is and make sure that we're safe that way. Right. And say, hey, I'm into the world of kink and I really want to experience all these things. Can we talk about it and see what you might be comfortable with, what I might need to go to like a professional dom for, or maybe we're going to turn poly and then someone else can meet those needs. And then just be able to have like all these conversations around all these like wildly different cool things, which requires vulnerability and safety and trust with yourself and your partner. Like you can have all of that, but it has to come in a really healthy way. It can't come in an insecure way. It'll be super hurtful if it comes from an insecure space.
For sure. Would you err on the side of like, if you have these specific things, wants and needs, to say it earlier on, or is that something that takes a while to develop trust with someone and then you could let them know later on, hey, I would really like to try this, or hey, I'd be really interested in this. Would you say that's an early conversation to have, or once trust is established?
I think it depends. It depends on what it is that you're talking about. So I find that people that are with, like, if you want I think most people are on the monogamous scale, but if you're someone that's like, I know that I want to be a poly person, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. I know that I am definitely into the world of kink. Mm-hmm. I know that I am bi, or I know that I like whatever the situation is, right? Like there's certain things like that, which I think need to be said up front because right. people need to be on the same page with sure. that stuff because it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They need to be, but I think like it's a hard conversation too, because I find that within those realms, there are certain places where you go to where you feel a little more comfortable to actually have those conversations and know that those people are already kind of like maybe interested in those realms mm-hmm. versus like if you're just going on to your regular dating apps or something like that and trying to find people. So like Hinge and Bumble and not Tinder. Tinder I really don't like, but like there maybe it's not as, I don't feel like it's as clear or open that right, you'll right. find those. Like you might, but it also kind of depends. I find if you're in like a city, then people might be more open to those other types of lifestyle things. But if it's the kind of monogamy vanilla trail, which is a beautiful trail as well, then mm-hmm. regular apps are great for it. But yeah.
Nice. I like it. But yeah, like how, you know, before I would probably hide parts of myself if I was dating someone or trying to get to know someone, you know, feeling shame or, mm-hmm. oh, what if they reject me because of this? So it almost felt like you had to hide certain things. But like, the more you hide early on, the more like you have to keep those things secret. When really like everyone has things that they're not totally proud of or areas that they know they need work on and healing. But if you're hiding these things or hiding who you are at your core, like, hey, I am gay, or hey, I am into this or that. Like if you have to hide those things for like your whole life, like I feel like you're not going to live a complete life or feel totally satisfied and squeezing as much juice as you can out of this life that we have.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And in that, I do think that there's also a huge aspect of you will attract your mirror in a sense. So if you're not being truly honest with who you are, then the person that you attract isn't going to be either.
Right. Have you heard those stories of people together for like years, decades, whatever? And then they get into this like massive fight at the end of the relationship and it's falling apart. And then the truth comes out. People start saying stuff of how they really felt and who they really are. And it's like, oh my gosh, like, I don't think I really knew this person for 10 or 20 years.
Yeah, I know. I try not to listen to those ones, but I'm like, I don't want that to happen. I prefer to just like be my best at showing up as who I truly am and uncovering as much as I can and being vulnerable and telling people like, you know, this is me, and
yeah,
trying being as honest in who I am as I can be. And I expect the same. And if you can't do that, then like, we're not going to vibe, because I need to know who you are.
Totally. And like, if you own who you are, then you're also given permission to the other person. Like, hey, it's safe here. Tell me. Yeah, about
exactly.
You. Yeah. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're coming to the end of the interview today. Thanks, Shelby, for being here. I just want to ask a couple more questions. As someone who's just starting to learn about attachment style that might be listening, and maybe you're a little intimidated to do the healing work, what words of inspiration could you give to them?
It's really worth it. You will see change. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do it all at once. You can take your time. And I just say like, you are capable of being able to be your own healer, and you can do it.
I love that. That's great. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of you don't have to do it all at once, because it can look like Mount Everest sometimes if you think, you know, you have a lot of things that need healing, but bit by bit yeah. and you'll get there, just like Shelly.
Yeah. Well, I think of Shrek, like, you know, when Shrek and Donkey are talking and then Shrek's like, I like the layers. It's like the onion. And he's like, I've got the layers. And that's very much seems to be like what healing is about. It's like healing just comes in layers, and you're not going to go and do healing work that is deeper than what you can handle right now. Like anything that's coming up, you can handle. Mm-hmm. And even if you can't, I actually realized this in a session with my therapist recently, was that you actually can turn it down. You have the option to be like, yo, this is a lot for me right now. Can we like just maybe turn that down and work on a little bit of the healing? And your body will listen. Like you just have to realize that's an option. I was like, oh, this is cool. I didn't have that trick before. So
yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, for sure. And lastly, Shelby, so if people want to work with you, where can people find your offerings?
So my website is Shelby Avann, which is spelled A-V-A-N-N, shelbyavann.ca. And then my Instagram is Intimacy Mistress. And those are the main two places that you can find me. Like I said, I've got my other offerings, and I'll do women's circles, and I do talks, and I might end up opening up my own podcast again eventually too. But Those are the two main platforms where you can find me right now.
Wonderful. And if you join Personal Development School, Shelby's a fixture there. We see her at some of the routines and webinars and whatnot.
Yeah. I like answering questions in the groups too. So if there's, especially if you have some sex questions, throw them in. I love answering. I specifically look for those and like, let me help you.
Yeah, this is my area. That's actually, it's so beautiful. Like to see that people come in the school, they learn so much, they grow so much, they take the training and then they become sort of the gurus. So obviously Thais is like super knowledgeable and knows so much stuff. But there's so many people in the school that are into other areas, such as yourself, and they can offer so much to the members. And I noticed that I see the senior members, they love answering questions and you know, providing guidance where they can. So that's pretty lovely to see. And we thank you for doing that with our members. Okay, Shelby, thank you so much for being here today. That was really insightful. And I learned some new stuff and hopefully the audience liked it. And just thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I like talking to you. So I love doing this.
Okay. We'll do it again sometime.
Okay.
All right. Bye now. Bye.